This is your host, Michael Riversong. We're here with Jeff Behari, and he has a very interesting museum to let us know about. Jeff, just go ahead and let us know what this museum is and what it's about.
Well, we have the turn of the century electrotherapy museum. It's about 30 years of eclectic devices, starting from the 1850s. Most of them are from the 1880s to the 20s. They use Tesla technologies as an attempt to cure disease or to treat disease or to physically remove disease by arcing and sparking.
That's an amazing bunch of equipment there. I've seen a few of the types of pieces that you have. And of course, you brought some to our 2006 Extraordinary Technology Conference today. They're impressive. And I really think that they are the core of what could become effective medicine in the future.
Yeah, it's there was a lot of groundwork done in the 20s, in the early teens, and a lot of black and white positive and negative aspects were published. And unfortunately, it kind of went into gray areas between the 30s and 40s where manufacturers kind of went out of hand. But these days, in the revived interest again, it would be good to restart on the right track and republish the correct information again.
When you say the manufacturers got out of hand, what specifically do you mean by that?
Well, there were people inventing very interesting machines, and once they were put on the market, the manufacturers would give extraneous claims as far as what they were good for. And the problem is eventually those claims were put to test, put to trial, and as long as there were any of them which failed, the machines were removed from the market. And unfortunately, many devices which were good for curing something were removed or taken off the market because they couldn't cure everything, and that's how they were being marketed and sold.
Yeah, that's a tragedy, and I've seen that happening even in our times. It's something we should be aware of.
Yeah.
What devices stand out as being especially workable?
There were some early diathermy machines. The technology's kind of been faded out, but it was used for healing, especially after injuries. Anytime there was inflammation involved, it would help speed the healing process.
What does diathermy mean?
It means heating, but heating from the inside out, almost like a microwave.
Sort of like a lot of devices would send, say, a kind of radio wave underneath the skin, and then the radio wave would do its work almost remote from the device.
Right. You would. There were normally electrodes placed on the body, but the heating would occur in the center of these electrodes. So if there was inflammation and where there would be some type of water buildup in the body, it could be drawn out from that area, from the outside in. And it was much more effective than, say, a heating pad, because for that instance, you have to heat from the outside in, which didn't always work, because you'd end up burning the skin or affecting the other tissues.
Not to mention the high magnetic fields and electric fields that often come with those heating pads, something I've experienced in doing home surveys in the past with electric blankets and various types of heating pads. They always generate some energy that's really not so good for you. One of the things we have to remember probably about this type of medicine is that we have to know what kind of energy we're producing.
Right.
What other kinds of energy were produced by some of these devices?
Well, there was, as far as fields were concerned, there were devices made to lower blood pressure, and they were called autocondensation couches. They were basically a low-voltage form of Tesla coil where the entire body would be charged with electricity, would become part of a capacitor. And in this, they found that you could lower blood pressure if it was extraordinarily high to a safe level. And you could even lower it to the point where you lowered it too much, and it would become dangerously low.
Wow.
But it was one area that they started the research in. It was interesting, and it kind of it was just faded out over the years as the technology changed in the type of machines that were being made.
Would you tend to point towards pharmaceutical companies in particular as having had anything to do with the falling out of consciousness of these machines?
A lot of people tend to think that. I'm kind of on the other side. What I've seen, I think it's more the manufacturer's faults, because there were a few companies that produced machines that were never taken off the market or never had any controversy associated with them, that were right alongside the other machines which were banned. And it seemed to be that the main reason was how they were presented and how the efficacy of the claims that they had.
Okay.
Along with the machines.
That's a lot like what I saw happening with solar power back in the mid-80s when I was in that business selling solar panels and realized I was competing against liars. And that was horrible. And it's really that same type of situation. It killed the whole solar industry at that time.
Yeah, at the time then, in the 20s, and it still applies today, people were so ignorant about electricity in general, it was easy to take advantage of them. So, and also it had to do with the psychology of the time. People were embarrassed to go to the doctor for certain types of conditions, so they felt in catalogs they would publish any type of impotence problems. For example, today you see in all sorts of catalogs Viagra and everything else. Back then, they weren't willing to talk about that. So instead, people would advertise these sometimes crazy machines and sometimes semi-legitimate in that area. And people would buy them because they would never, ever go to the family doctor and talk about that and risk having word get around town. But any type of, even today, issues we don't really think about. But then any slightly embarrassing issue, they didn't want to even deal with. So the manufacturers had a field day with that, and just by placing discreet ads in the back of books, they could sell many devices.
Wow, yeah, it was a very different era.
Yeah, yeah. Today we're not very silent about any problems we have. Back then it was a different story.
I'm not sure that's actually a good thing, really.
Yeah.
But then I grew up in the 1950s when everything was changing, and so I got to see some of the old and, of course, all of the new.
Mm-hmm.
So are there any final thoughts you have about this technology and the significance of the museum? I'd love you to say some things that would encourage people to visit, because I want to visit next time I'm down that way.
Well, it's interesting to see the actual early machines, and like a lot of even authors that have published things have come to the house and have seen the machines up close. And wow, I never realized they were like this. I've only seen paragraphs written about them, but I could have never visualized some of these effects in person otherwise.
And a lot of your machines really are working right now.
Yeah, almost all of them are functional. And
uh-huh.
Even machines that we haven't been able to find that no longer exist, we've even tried to build reproductions of them to show people what they're like.
Wow, there's a particular machine that if you ever build a reproduction of it, of course, let everybody know, and that's the Rife microscope.
Oh.
But that would be a little bit expensive to build. I understand you had custom prisms, and I've seen those prisms. They're outrageous.
I've seen only some bad photos. I haven't really seen much good information on that, but I know there's a lot of similar technology was made back at that time, which we don't hear about today, but there were companies that made multiple frequency units and
Sort of like the Lakowski multi-wave oscillator?
Sort of like that, and sort of the same lines as, and Rife was inspired by these early shortwave diathermy machines, and there were companies that actually made very similar to a Rife machine, and they were marketed for treating different conditions, and it's something that no one ever hears about today, but they existed, and they still exist. We have a few of them.
So where are you, and how do people find you?
We're in West Palm Beach, and you can go on the internet, electrotherapymuseum.com. We're an open book and have all of our books, and everything's published for free. And anyone can find all the information they ever wanted and probably didn't want to know in some cases. But it's all there.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, and I hope you're trip back to Florida is a safe and pleasant one, and have a wonderful.
Thank you, Michael.